So, are you ready for some football?
You're in a position. He does everything the right way. A clean, legal hit.
Hits are what make football popular, and there's irrefutable evidence we know that even clean hits contribute to the brain damage that so many players experience. So what does it say about those of us who watch it knowing that? What does it say that most of the players are African-American, most of the owners are white? That fans think more about football than they do about their God or social issues? That taxpayers shovel money at some of the richest people in the world to build stadiums in their towns while their schools fail? These are just some of the questions that writer Steve Almond asks himself, and in his answers, he makes a case against football, which is also the title of his new book. But the subtitle is A Fan's Reluctant Manifesto. He loves this game and explains to people who don't understand why it's so compelling. Steve Almond is with us, and Steve, you know, the emails and tweets are already starting. You say, right out, you know you're going to get hammered for this.
Yeah. I mean, I'm the messenger, and I'm going to have to wear a lot of armor.
Yourself, yeah, right. Yeah. Well, but you're also a fan. The title of your book is Against Football, One Fan's Reluctant Manifesto.
Yeah, I've been a fan for 40 years. I've been watching since the time I was a kid. I think it's the most amazing game. And if it were just that, then I wouldn't have written a book. The problem is that attached to the amazing pageantry and spectacle, the agility, the heroism and all that, that we worship about football are all these incredible moral hazards that we really don't want to look at or confront.
Others have made the comparison, but you do pretty sharply, to Roman gladiators.
Yeah, I mean, I'm certainly not the first, but they're kind of a warrior class for us. And we want them to be to sort of represent these hyper-masculine ideals, but we don't really want to be responsible for them in a moral sense, the players, that is. And I think also we don't want to think about the way in which football reinforces our feelings about race, about violence, about greed, how we think of women and how we think of masculinity. All that stuff is very unsettling to me, and it's coded in a way that football fans, and I'm speaking as one, I really didn't think about this stuff. I just wanted to turn on the game and see some people pop some other people and see some beautiful, amazing plays, and I didn't want to think much more beyond that.
Well, and let's be clear. You didn't just turn on a game. As you say, yeah, one game in particular, we don't need to go into it, but a Raiders game, right. You're a Raiders fan. You have more of a memory of that one game than you do of the birth of your children, and that you're not proud of that.
Yeah.
You're the kind of person.
Thanks for bringing that up.
You're welcome. You're the kind of person who goes to the sports clubs. Who, yeah, this is your, as you say, your lingua franca with other men.
The sad truth is that I've given over way more of my sort of wishes and my heart and my mind to football than lots of other things that would be a better investment. And I think that's finally going to stop, but it's only going to stop as a result of my having to really take a look at what it is that I'm consuming. And that's really kind of, America does this amazing thing. There's something that's really amazing and delicious, whether it's meat or a car that goes fast, an amazing game that makes us feel, I mean, it's very dramatically satisfying to watch a football game. That's why we love it. And it combines all these things, grace and agility and brute force and confrontation and skill.
Music and noise
yeah, and cheerleaders and flyovers from the Blue Angels. I mean, everything is packed into us. All the American pathology is packed into one delicious Dorito chip of consumption. And we just don't think about the moral costs of it at all. That's partly what capitalism is trying to keep us from doing.
Well, and when you say capitalism is trying to, what do you mean?
I mean that football used to be a really beautiful, joyful, intuitive game, or at least for me when I was a kid. And you might get hurt, but a lot of it was two-hand touch or flag football. It was the intuitive joys of childhood. You leap, you catch, you throw, you run, you try to dodge. That's a beautiful, sacred thing. What football is in this country is a huge, huge, huge industry. Roger Goodell, the commissioner of the NFL, wants football, the NFL, to be a $25 billion per year industry. That puts it in the neighborhood of Nike and McDonald's. And that money comes from us. We are the ones who built it. The fans built it.
Well, let's stay there for a second, because literally built it. In cities, there are teams that demand that taxpayers build the stadiums. The NFL is hugely profitable, but tax-exempt?
The NFL itself is tax-exempt, but it's important to make the distinction. They are a cartel, essentially. They're a monopoly, and they negotiate together. The teams negotiate with the network, for instance. The money that comes in gets distributed to the teams, and maybe those teams, as private businesses, pay taxes on them, although a lot of them cut deals with the local municipalities where they're located. But the NFL office itself, which has, you know, a big Park Avenue office and $30 million, you know, Roger Goodell got paid $30 million a few years ago, all of those expenditures are tax exempt. But it's not that the $10 billion that they generate each year is tax exempt. However, the idea that they're a business league that anybody could join, like you and me, Robin, if we just had a couple billion dollars lying around, could join them, that is a corruption of what the business league tax exemption is about. And the idea that they are essentially a cartel that because of our passion for the game, you know, the fans of Baltimore lost the Colts. The Colts went off to Indianapolis and they were yearning for a team. And as a result of that, they said to Art Modell, okay, come here, we'll build you a stadium for $200 million that the taxpayers will pay for. And also we'll give you all these all the infrastructure and so forth. And you can play here rent-free and you can get the proceeds, Art Modell, very rich human being. You can have the proceeds from everything, parking, tickets, luxury boxes, all that stuff. This is Baltimore we're talking about. This is a place where $200 million needs to be invested in schools, in law enforcement, in better social services. And people really don't see this, that, you know, the NFL is a carnival and it comes to town, but it isn't really about developing local economies. It's not a substitute for really trying to help out, for instance, the people who really are in economically disadvantaged neighborhoods, and they don't need a great football team. They need great schools. They need, you know, basic stuff.
But you know the argument that a great team in any town does raise all boats because people have pride and then they invest that back in their city. But you're shaking your head. Although people do make that argument. We're speaking with Steve Almond, a regular contributor to Here and Now. But his new book is Against Football, One Fan's Reluctant Manifesto. You can read an excerpt, share your thoughts at hereandnow.org, or you can tweet me at Here and Now Robin. And boy, we're getting a lot of Facebook comments. Here's Natalie O'Hare. I totally agree with Steve. We don't idolize the players or even watch football in our house for many of the reasons he lists. Thanks for covering this. But someone else writes, Scott writes, wow, blaming sports for your issues. We're speaking with writer Steve Almond. His new book is Against Football, One Fan's Reluctant Manifesto. He's long loved the Oakland Raiders, but he writes about different concerns he began to have about the game that he says stem from the game: violence, greed, racism, homophobia. And he says, watching it creates a tolerance for those things in all of us. He even says football has replaced the bloodthirsty id that's always defined American identity because military conflicts are so removed. We don't have a draft anymore. So many aren't connected to real battle that football satisfies that need. Now, he also notes signs of change. The NFL has agreed to pay nearly $800 million to former players who sued over concussions, although that settlement is now being held up in the courts because a judge didn't think that figure was enough. But Steve thinks it's a sham payout anyway. He says he's going to stop watching, and he wants people to at least start questioning. Steve, it's a small book that there's a lot to unpack here. You met an Eagles fan. You talked to her about your arguments against football, and she said something that resonated with you. Don't take football away from me. It's what connects me to my dad.
That's right. And my point to her and to anybody else is, I don't want to take it away from you, but I want you to look at what it really is. And this, I think, for me really started, you know, I've been thinking about football and being troubled by it for a long time. And then I had my mother, who's a brilliant thinker and one of the smartest people I know. She suffered an acute dementia. And, you know, your brain is what makes you who you are. And when I saw my mom unable to, you know, didn't know where she was, didn't always know who I was, at that point, that little suitcase of rationalizations and excuses that every NFL fan carries into every season, oh, well, the players are making a choice. They're adults. They know what they're doing.
They're getting paid a lot of money.
It's like, yeah, that's not the moral equation we're considering. The question is, why do you watch them? And why do you watch them knowing that that could be the end result? And once you see it and it's no longer an abstraction, you just look at it in a different way and go, actually, that's a human being. And a little bit of my humanity is going away when I just think of them as almost like an incredibly well-trained animal. This book isn't trying to say, hey, you shouldn't be watching football. It's just saying, hey, what are you watching? You should think about what it is because those are real people. Nobody can watch, for instance, the NFL Combine and not see the echoes of a slave auction. It's incredibly monetized. These guys are all going to be paid a fortune. But the predominant image that I take away from it is mostly white guys in suits watching young African-American men jump, run, perform tricks, basically. And that's not valuing the content of somebody's character. So there's all this stuff coded into football that I I feel like people need to confront. Doesn't mean they have to stop watching the game, but they should be more honest about what it is they're watching.
Well, or maybe try to change the game. You have a list of suggestions: revoke the NFL's nonprofit status, include graduation rates in a college team's national ranking, prohibit tackle football for high schoolers younger than 16. Can you change the game enough? I mean, this would be a great list for people who want reform, but basically, can you take the hitting out of the game?
Look, people treat it like it's fate. Like, it's football. What are you talking about? It's football. They're never going to get rid of football. They're never going to change it. It's football. As if power in this culture is equated with fate or destiny. I feel the echo of people saying, maybe people will be furious that I say, you're never going to be able to give women the vote. Men are never going to give women the vote.
How about you'll never be able to cut into American smoking?
You'll never be able to cut into American smoking. Another great example. Oh, boxing's going to be the biggest sport forever. It's the most popular.
Boxing was the biggest sport.
That's right. Until Americans decided that it was too brutal and that the moral downs, and still exists, and it still makes people zillions of dollars. But it has become a fringe sport because collectively people really looked at it and they said, it's not worth it. Morally, I don't feel right watching two men try to knock each other senseless.
And they saw Muhammad Ali.
Right. That's right.
Not be able to put a sentence together.
That's right. And people really don't want to connect those two dots. It's almost like there are two synapses in the American conscience. There's the one that looks at football and says, oh my God, this is such a great game. It's so amazing. And they're right. It is. And it's remarkable. And part of the charge of it is that it's violent. And we are a culture that I think is founded on sort of the regeneration of our spirit through violence. And then there's the other synapse that says, wait a second, maybe it's doing bad things to the national soul to watch this game. I'm just trying to get those two synapses to connect. People don't like that.
That we like violence, but we are also a good people at heart and don't want to have people injured.
We're how we behave. You gave a very good example. We have great values that we espouse, but when it's your fantasy football team and you're going up against another team and either one of your guys is injured and he's not coming back quick enough, Wes Welker has a concussion again, God darn him, he's just so wimpy, or why can't he get it together? That's the way we think about it. Or if it's a star quarterback from another team, we're happy to see that guy get hit and be out of the game. I mean, that's the truth of it. If we're really going to be honest about it, it's not Americans like to say, we're such good people, we have such good values. You are the values that you enact. And part of what I was trying to say is this is our biggest cultural activity in America. It gets the most of our attentions, our wishes, and a lot of our money. What exactly are we buying?
So, Steve Almond, such a fan. Such a football fan. And there's a whole lot in here about your own personal family psychology and a twin and brothers and what it meant to play football and be told hit him harder. And lots here. Will you watch the Raiders?
No. I mean,
really?
I hope I don't. Yeah, no. I can't put out a book called Against Football and then say, yeah, but you know what?
But will you rejoin if somehow the game has changed and it's this glorious passing running game and hits and helmet hits are taken out?
Well, maybe. The premise of the book is that the fans are in charge. We make the decisions. And there's this weird kind of passivity that we have, or this effort to sort of absolve ourselves by saying it's somebody else. And the media really feeds this constantly. Every scandal is about some scapegoat. They want to blame an individual player rather than saying,
Well, it's also the hardest thing in the world to do. I mean, I'm one of those people that agonized over young people getting a concussion and cursed the game. And there's something about that Sunday. You are thinking about your loved ones who are gone. You don't even have to follow football. There's something about the noise, and maybe people come over and you cook a certain something. And
it's tribal and people gather together, and I get it. I'm bummed as you talk about that I'm not going to be going to those social events.
Like,
I've had to change my whole kind of outlook. I don't get to hang out with a lot of my male friends for whom, I'm not proud to say, but like a lot of what we did was go watch football games. That was a way in which we had something kind of low key that we both were plugged into the narrative. We both understood it. And then it sort of made room for us to go sneak off together and eventually, after a beer or two, have the conversation we really need to have. Or maybe not have it at all and just watch the game and be together like I used to be with my dad and my friend Sean probably was with his dad. I mean, I get what you're saying. The book is trying to celebrate the allures of football as well and how powerful and meaningful it is to people. The problem is it's attached to all this other stuff that is just so dark and is a part of our sort of national character that I think leads to really bad collective decisions about our education system, about where we put our priorities, about how it is that we allow ourselves to love other people.
The book is Against Football, One Fan's Reluctant Manifesto. Steve is prepared for your thoughts. Send them to hearandnow.org. Steve Almond, thanks so much.
Thank you.